Morning. If you would open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John. Book of 1 John. This morning, our lesson is taken from the first chapter of the book of 1 John. John wrote this book to Christians. He wrote it so that they would have assurance of what lies ahead because they have become children of God. And this first chapter, and this is true throughout the book, this is not just limited to chapter one, but that's where we're going to focus this morning, but throughout this book, there are conditional clauses that help us to understand what our role is and what our responsibility is. We need to keep in mind when we read conditional clauses that it has to do with the blessings that God will bestow upon those who choose to follow Him. In other words, there are blessings that are freely given, and there are things that are freely chosen by God. In John 3:16, John says that God loved the world, and because of that love, He gave His only begotten Son. And in giving us His Son, He has given us the hope of eternal life. I would ask you to think about, in terms of your life and in terms of your relationship with God, to answer the question, do you trust God? Do you trust what it is that He has said that He will do? Do you trust and understand that everything that He has ever said that He will do, He always has done that? There has not been one promise that has failed to come to fruition. God always keeps His word. And so when He talks to us then through the apostles in this book, we get a better understanding for Him and for our relationship with Him. There are conditional benefits. But see, this has been God's choice from the very beginning. You might remember that in Ephesians chapter 1, in God's plan for salvation, that God decided about salvation before He ever created. It was that important to Him, and it was in His mind. We do not earn salvation. We meet, however, freely given conditions laid out by God Himself. So when we begin reading in 1 John, we're going to read through the first four verses to begin with. John writes this. He says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, and what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and we bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So what it is that we have seen and what we have heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. That our joy may be complete. When he begins this section, he says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard. The we here has to do with the apostles, the inspired men. What they had heard and what we, the apostles, have seen with our own eyes, and what we beheld and our hands handled, that might cause you to think about Thomas and his relationship with God, with Jesus. And Jesus told him, here, put your hand in my side. What our hands have handled, he said, concerning the word of life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Life. That's what Jesus was. He was the Word of life. And this life was manifested. Jesus was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness. These are eyewitnesses, an eyewitness testimony to who God is and who Jesus is. We have seen and we bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life. That's Jesus. We proclaim that. Which was with the Father from the beginning and was manifested to us. So, he says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. It's not just the fact that we know. It was for the purpose of proclamation and heralding the fact that Jesus was the Son of God and he came to save the world. So what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. The word means a joint sharing, that you might have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So what we have is, we have God, we have Christ, we have the apostles that proclaim salvation, proclaim the word of life, so that we might understand and so that indeed our fellowship will be with those that are the eyewitnesses to what God did and what Jesus did. He says our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There is a message that the apostles are trying to proclaim and to get across. And the relationship that we have is based upon the fact that they are inspired writers and that they do proclaim to us the eternal life. And if we come to a realization and an understanding of who Jesus is and what it is that He has done, John concludes in verse 4 that these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. There's a reason. There's purpose that they proclaim. What they are proclaiming, the declared message that comes from God from on our behalf and our for our benefit, that we might have a relationship with God through the inspired men and the inspired writers that proclaim the eternal life to us. And it is through their message that we come to have an understanding and appreciation for who God is, which becomes then the basis of our fellowship with God. Peter talks about, the fact that that we have become, as children of God, that we have become partakers of the divine nature. This concept of fellowship with God is said, it comes to our attention in several verses. Verse 3 that we just read. Also in verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In verse 7, he says, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship. Having a relationship. And this is what God wanted from the very beginning. He wanted us to have a relationship with Him. But it is through Jesus Christ. This was a concept that was in place from the beginning. If you go back to Acts chapter 1, or rather Acts chapter 2, notice what is recorded here for us. Acts chapter 2. And this is after those that were there on Pentecost heard what Peter said, that they became children of God. 3,000 people chose to follow Christ. And so what happens is then, we'll begin reading in verse 37. It says, "And now when they heard this," that is the message that Peter preached to them, accusing them and telling them that they had killed the Prince of Life. And now they must come to the realization that they are lost. And so they say then, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself." If there was ever any doubt whether or not salvation was available to more than just the Jews, we have the evidence here. This is what Peter said. The promise was made to you Jews, and to them that are afar off, the Gentiles, and all that would call on the name of the Lord. Verse 40 says, "And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, Be saved from this wicked generation. So then, those who had received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and of prayer." Fellowship. From the beginning. A joint sharing. Because of what God had done through Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Thing that Paul talks about with the Corinthians, making sure that they are all on the same page and that they understand, you know, who they are. He talks in verse 9 about what he calls the fellowship of Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, he talks about the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit moved men. They gave them the words that they needed to say so that men can be saved. God wants us to have fellowship with Him. And the way that He accomplishes that is through the message that is preached by these inspired men that we have recorded for us. "These things we've written that our joy," he says, "may be made full." We would remind us, verse 3, that they saw, that they heard. Their hands handled, they touched the Savior, the Prince of Life. That you, the people to whom he's writing, you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we're after. That's what God is after. And so what John does, the rest of this chapter, he talks about several conditional things. There are conditional blessings if we are to walk in the light, as indeed He is in the light. It is a condition in verse 6 of fellowship. Verse 5 says, "And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced, that is proclaimed to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all." God is light. He cannot abide darkness. There is no darkness in Him. But in verse 6 he says, "But if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth." If we say that we have fellowship, but yet our life indicates that we are walking in darkness, then we lie and we do not practice the truth. Truth has to be practiced. A condition of fellowship is that we live in the truth and that we practice the truth. God is light. We must always keep in mind that God cannot abide anything but what is truth and what is right. So if we say that we have fellowship, the evidence that we have fellowship with the Father is if we walk in the light. And if we do not practice the sin that He's talking about, walk, a way of life, so that God can see and others can see Him in us. It's so important for us to understand that if we claim that we are in a right relationship with God and yet do not the truth and yet do not walk in light, then we have no fellowship with Him. Have no, none at all. So the first thing is that there is a condition of fellowship. In verse 7, then, there's also a condition of cleansing. To be made right, to be made clean and pure. If God cannot abide darkness, then there has to be a way in which we can be light and we can live righteously so we can be acceptable to God. Verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship the one with the other." He's still talking about a fellowship that is vertical. A fellowship that we have with the Father through the declared message. He says, "And the blood of Jesus, and then the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Have we been cleansed from all sin? Walk in the light as He is in the light. And if we do, we have fellowship with them and we have fellowship with the Lord. And if we have fellowship with the Lord, then what He says is, He says that the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We sing the song, "Washed in the Blood." That's right. The cleansing power of the blood is what the song says. If we are to be right with God, if we are to be cleansed. And David exemplifies that in Psalm 51. He prays to God to be healed, to be clean and righteous. Because he knows that he has sinned, but he acknowledges it and he goes to God and asks God to forgive him, and the Lord does. And the Lord will forgive us when we sin if we go to Him contritely and on bended knee. Walking in the light is a condition of cleansing. So the question will continue to be this morning, are you walking in the light? Or are you walking in darkness? We can answer that question by going back to see what God says. But you have to understand that it is your choice. But we must make sure that we are honest in the things that we say and the things that we do. It is a condition of cleansing. In verse 8, walking in the light is also a condition of the truth being in us. If we say that we have no sin, and there are some that will say that, "I have no sin, so what's the point? So what do I have to do?" But if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. Do you remember what Paul said about that? Those people that would come to Christ, he said, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have. That's why we need the cleansing nature of the blood. But if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we are going to spend eternity with the Lord, then the truth must be in us. We walk in the light, the truth will be in us. If we practice what it is that we preach, if we understand what the apostles are trying to get us to see, and we walk according to that, then the truth is in us. And without the truth being in us, in other words, it becomes us. It becomes such a part of who we are that that's the first thing that we think about is the truth. We are talking about objective truth here. We're not talking about whether or not somebody over here says, well, that's fine, that's your truth. No, there is only one truth. And that's what these men, that's what the apostles and what John is trying to get these Christians to see and to understand. It is also a condition of forgiveness. In verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he says that he is faithful and righteous to forgive. God is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, do we do that? Do we understand that when we come before God, in order to be clean and pure, that we need to make sure that we are in a right relationship and that our sin, we acknowledge our sin and that our sins have been forgiven. And yet, if we walk in darkness, there's no way that our sins will be forgiven. But if we walk in the light, if we confess our sins, God is true to His Word, and He will forgive us and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a marvelous feeling to know that the burden of sin has been lifted. And what He's asking us to do is to come to Him, to enjoy the benefits of being in a right relationship with God. It is also a condition of His Word being in us. In verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. We make Him a liar. I pray that none of us will do that. If we say that we have not sinned. The marvelous thing about walking with the Lord is that we will reap all of the benefits and all of the blessings. Walking in the light. God loves us. He loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. And He loved us before He even created. What a wonderful thing to think about. That the Creator, the Almighty One, the Holy and Righteous One, thought about me and thought about you enough to where He gave His only begotten Son. That if we build our lives on Him and we believe on Him, and we act upon that belief, then we have eternal life. over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, where all of this is leading from chapter 1 through chapter 5, John says, I'm writing to you so that you might know that you have eternal life. So when somebody asks you, as a child of God, when somebody asks you, said, are you going to heaven? Do you have eternal life? John says, we do. That doesn't mean that we can't lose it. We can always choose against God. So the choice this morning is, you either choose life or you choose death. You're either walking in the light or you're walking in darkness. That's what God has said. That's not what I'm saying. That's what God has said. And the blessings are so marvelous and are so wonderful. If we would but act upon what He has given us, eternal life. So this morning, if you're not a Christian and you've not decided to follow Jesus, you can change that. You can become a child of God. And as a child of God, you can walk in the light as God is and does. And our life will be better for it because our sins have been forgiven. Or as a child of God, if you're struggling with things in your life, and if you need us to pray with you or pray for you, won't you please come while we stand and sing?